Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We've got 24 and a half more minutes of this show. Thanks for listening to AFR. We're here every Monday through Friday. Fridays, we have trivia. Yes, sir.
Listen,
Ray Pritchard.
To our friends out there in AFR land, I have been doing this program for, I don't know, years, but remotely, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Time.
Either in Kansas City, Dallas, or Florida.
Right. And I've been watching over these years. Tim goes and gets that popcorn, talks about it, right?
That's right.
Today, yeah. First time ever I've had the popcorn. I want everybody to know it's the real deal. This is some of the best popcorn I have ever had.
Yeah. Well, did you see there? I was telling the truth the whole time.
That's right.
There you go.
Over all these years, this popcorn, they make it out here. I don't know who makes Phantom. Phantom of the Popcorn Machine makes it every morning. And it's fresh. By 10 o'clock, it's fresh out there.
Mm-hmm.
10 o'clock Central Time. And I just can't help myself. Mm-hmm. Got to get, as we talk about the world burning, I have to get my popcorn out.
That's right.
That's right.
Plus, it's good for you, right?
It is. I think it's good fiber, isn't it?
It is. That's what I'm saying.
It's a great.
I don't really know, but I'm agreeing.
And you can add things to it.
As you'll learn, Ray, there is also an art to eating popcorn while hosting a national radio program. You have to count on Fred talking for at least 45 seconds.
That's right.
And not pitching the subject matter back to me.
Because that's right.
Isn't that right, Tim?
I got my cough box on, my chewing now, and I get to eat and enjoy my popcorn. Some would say, why can't you just wait till the show's over to enjoy your popcorn? And I would say to those people, mind your own business.
That's right.
Basically,
wow.
Get your own radio show, and then you can not eat popcorn. Go ahead, Chris.
I just want to say that Dr. Google says popcorn is a whole grain, and it's considered a healthy snack
because it provides
fiber and other nutrients from the entire kernel. It's classified as a whole grain source by dietary guidelines, similar to oatmeal or brown rice.
Preach.
And it is a cost-effective source of whole grains, according to the USDA, which is the federal government.
Can you take your voice up just another notch or two, Chris?
I sure can.
Exciting.
You'd be great. Right in there to Pinocchio range.
But I'm with you. It's good for you.
Yeah, but that's a good point.
Don't worry about that salt. It's a whole grain.
What salt?
And a fiber.
Well, you need salt. Salt.
That's right.
You
sure do.
You got to have salt.
You got to be salt and light.
You don't need salt.
Leave the lights on when we leave today.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So anyway, I don't know who what kind of popcorn this is, what brand
it is.
But
it's good, folks.
It's good, absolutely.
It stays good, too. I eat it oftentimes at like 2 o'clock when my lunch wears off.
Popcorn's sort of a comfort for
you. Yeah, it is.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. I wanted to ask you guys, Brent, put the microphone. Brent Creeley, our producer. Chris Woodward. These guys are in your 40s, right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So Brent, how many kids you got?
I got two.
And what age?
Daughters,
right?
Yes, sir. 16 and 11.
Okay, come on. Have that memory kick in.
I know, right?
Okay, you're a good case study for what I'm about to talk about. 16 and 11, your daughters. What about you, Chris?
16 and 12.
And you're so same age, daughters or?
Daughters.
Okay, you guys got daughters, both of you. I was just watching this. There's a story on now about in Australia, they have banned social media for 16 years and under, 16-year-olds and under. Now, I don't know what that means exactly, except that you're going to have to verify your age.
Yeah. The companies are going to be responsible for whom they give accounts to.
Okay, that hasn't been done in America so far, and I doubt it will be. However, we do have restrictions on minors right now for everything from driving to buying alcohol or tobacco, there are all kind of things. Boating, there are all kind of things that underage people can't do. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's precedent has already been set. Now I want to ask you two guys, as Christian fathers. Mm-hmm. Brent, what do you do with regard to social media and your daughters?
Well, Apple has a feature, if you will, that allows the kids or the parents to have a little control over that. And what I mean is my kids can't download an app without our permission.
Oh, you know about it.
So, yes.
On their phones.
Right.
Okay.
And we go around every now and then and do, like, surprise inspections on phones and that kind of thing.
Okay. Isn't that a violation of their privacy?
Well, they're living in my house. I'm paying the bills. So
I knew the answer to that. Yeah, that's the answer my parents would have given. And I agree with that 100%. That's how some people. What do they do?
Well, we have Android devices, phones and tablets. But similar to what Brent just mentioned there, there are limits as to when they can use it and how much they can use it. They do have to come to us. Mom often is the one that they have to go to for permission or access to things. And we have pulled the phone. My wife has done more of this than I have, but we have looked at text messages. And it's very concerning. Things that I didn't want my parents to know I was doing, I've now had to realize, hey, my parents were right all along. You think when you're 16, 17 years old and you're the smartest person in the world that your parents are just a bunch of fuddy-duddies. But then when you actually have kids, you realize mom and dad had something.
Oh, yeah.
Along.
Every parent has said this and every kid's heard this down through the history of mankind. Just wait till you're a parent one day.
Yeah.
And you'll understand. Go ahead.
Now, in Australia, the law just took effect today, where it is December 10th. Social media companies are required to verify users' ages using technologies like government IDs, facial recognition, or behavioral analysis. And those companies face...
They're serious about this.
Yes.
Australia is.
Yes. And those companies face fines of up to $49.5 million for non-compliance.
Yeah, so it's going to work.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's going to work. Now, kids will figure out some way around it somehow, probably, but you can't not enforce good laws because somebody might break them.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a I commend Australia for this. I think it's appropriate.
Yeah. It could be the first time that you've that Rahm Emanuel has agreed with you about something.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He's in the news this moment saying the U.S. should follow Australia's youth social media.
Now, let me ask you this. So, I haven't thought this thing through 100%. I'm just reacting on what you're telling me. I do think it's a good idea for the country just to say 16 and under, you're ineligible for using social media. It doesn't mean they can't use the internet at all.
Mm, that's right.
It just means they can't use certain social media interaction sites
that
require, that would put them at risk, is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll see, see how that works. So Rahm Emanuel, the Democrat
from
Chicago.
He's seemingly looking for things to get himself in the headlines talking about.
Why he wants to run for president?
That is the scuttlebutt, which is another word some people may not understand. That's the word on the street that Rahm Emanuel might be looking to run for president. I say that he's looking for things to get in the news about because in recent weeks he wrote an op-ed that the Wall Street Journal picked up on in which he praised Mississippi for its education reforms and said Democrats need to come around to the idea of education reform because we're losing it in the classrooms. So it's second time in a couple of months that he's made kind of a center-right statement.
All right, next story.
All right, let's mention this real quick. Erica Kirk, she's been doing some media appearances, and she's talked about her life after Charlie Kirk was shot and killed, of course. One of the things that Charlie was known for is that come Sundays, he would turn his phone off and just focus on the family, so to speak. He wouldn't do any kind of work. And she also does that with her life here. And she's talking in the news in this particular clip here about how honoring the Sabbath will help transform your life and really kind of get you to focus on things that matter. Clip 9.
He saw the fruit of what it was like to actually detach from the world, stop the noise, stop the scrolling, and just put pause on everything and focus on your family. And he was, at first, it was started with an hour, 2 hours, but then once he fully incorporated it into his life, he totally elevated. He became a next level husband, which I didn't even think was possible because he was already so incredible to me and the babies.
That is something I think we as a society, you might be in a church service and somebody says something about it used to be the Lord's Day, but then we all go out to eat and do all kinds of things and we don't really give the Lord his time. Is there something, Ray, that we are missing by not doing more on Sundays or the Sabbath?
Well, there's two parts to this, Chris. One, kudos to Erica for talking about Charlie that way. Kudos to him for what he did. It's the other day, down in Florida, one branch of the family came down to spend a few days with us, and I was struck walking into our living room, because we've been having fun parties and we're hanging out, ride the golf cart, the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
I go in the living room, and there's six members of my family, flesh and blood, who I love. And what were they doing when I walked in? Every single one had their head down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
iPad, iPhone, whatever. So I did the only thing a wise man could do. I grabbed my phone and looked at it too, because that's the world in which we're living.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which means I think Erica's point, your point, is exactly right. There needs to be a time during the week when we cut off the outside distractions. You know, back I can remember when Christians wouldn't go to parties on Sunday afternoon. Sometimes wouldn't go out to eat on Sunday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to believe there were Christians, evangelical Christians, who would not watch an NFL game on Sunday afternoon. You can criticize if you want to some of those rules, but they were at least onto something, weren't they?
Yeah.
That there needs to be a time when we pull back from the incredible distractions of this frenetic age and focus on what matters.
I'm guilty of all those things this week.
Well, and there was a time not too long ago where high schools didn't allow sports games on Sundays,
right.
That sort of thing. I heard
that's still true here.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I heard the Erica Kirk interview this morning, and she said they decided on Sundays that basically he put his cell phone away. If there was an emergency, somebody could get in touch with them. You know, I've often said, I grew up at a time when there weren't cell phones. We survived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you went for a drive in the car, if somebody needed to get you, they had to wait until you got to destination somewhere.
Yeah.
We survived.
I think a lot, cell phone usage, for example, is, talking about, quote, staring at your screen. I think a lot of that is not necessarily people disengaged from each other. It's that they're keeping up with the news, for example. I'm not saying it's not a good idea to do what Charlie Kirk did. Don't misunderstand me. And put your phone down, put it away. In fact, I've started trying to just keep it in the car when I go into a restaurant or something like that. That way I'm not tempted to use it. Go ahead.
Tim, how hard would it be for you? Because I've got my own answer here.
Yeah.
How hard would it be for you to set aside your cell phone and let's say internet usage for a whole day? It would be really hard for me.
Yeah, if you're used to using it a lot.
It'd be really hard for me to do that.
No, it would be. It would be something you'd have to consciously think, okay, now. Here you go.
Right.
Can't do that, you know, disengage from that. So I think, like right now, I got the screen up here. Of course, you know, I'm looking at the news, right? We're talking about the news of the day, so that's part of it. But, yeah, now, I tell you what, going outdoors is a good idea.
I think
whether you go for a walk,
mm-hmm.
a bike ride,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a big guy to go camping, but some people go camping. Fishing. Going out, just playing basketball with your kids or something like that, or I'm just talking about going out. If you go outside, you're less likely to be tempted with that phone or the internet, you know, having your neck bent over looking at a screen. So golf, I enjoy golfing. Well, I rarely look at my phone at all when you're out.
Sure.
Yep.
Golfing, you're outside, you're in nature and you're enjoying that. So I say getting outside and doing things like when the weather's to get you away from looking at a screen all the time.
Yes, so. Absolutely.
But I tell you, these news sites, especially, I'm a news junkie. And so the New York Post app and the Fox News app, they're changing all the time. So you want to know what's going on in the world. So you're always, you know what I'm saying? I'm guilty.
Uh-huh.
Guilty as charged, but to the whole discussion here about disengaging from the what do you call it, electronic media, you do need to make time to do that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Something I've done here recently, and it's worked for me, is I don't take my phone with me in church because number one, it's going to go off. Even if I somehow mute it or whatever.
That's embarrassing, Chris.
You're still going to hear sting and whatever breaking news.
Well, you got to turn it down.
But also,
if
too,
you're going to scroll during church. I don't do it.
If I'm you're like me and you sometimes are without your actual paper Bible and you're having to use your phone for the verse.
That is,
you know,
true.
Then you get inundated. That's when the devil hits you up with text messages and news alerts and whatnot. So yeah. I have used that.
I agree. So just leave in the car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leave in the car.
You'll be less likely to be interrupted there.
That's the best thing to do. You know, the Bible talks about doing away with things that cause you to sin, right? So get away from them.
Yeah. When I go to the gym, I leave the phone in the car.
Yeah.
Just get a break.
Yeah, there you go. From it up. I mean, just leave it in the car. That way you're not tempted with it.
That's right. That's right. So, I'm amazed there are people at the gym. They go in to exercise.
Now, you don't scroll while you're riding your bike, do you, Ray?
He's
come on.
Google
no,
glasses.
Please tell me you don't. How do you?
A few times I've done that. It's not the safest way to ride a bike, though, right? It's not. It's not really safe to do
you
that.
You pull over. You got to pull over.
You got to pull over to do that. That's
over
right.
If you got to text somebody
that's
back.
That's right.
Especially driving a bike on ice.
Huh? On ice, right. Please. Yeah. Don't text and ride your bike right on ice. Please.
That's very good.
I've tried that. It doesn't work.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Issues. The name of the show on American Family Radio.
Just one more thing.
Tim, Fred, and Ray, and Chris, go ahead. One more thing.
It scares me, driving in the car, and somebody's approaching me.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the car alone, and they're screaming. They're talking on their phone.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
To someone. That scares me.
Yeah.
Because I know they're not focused. And I will kind of ease over to the right to make sure, because I've seen it. They're having a
distraction,
a very aggressive conversation with somebody, and you know, that's just another thing.
Right. Another thing, have you noticed out that people will be having an earpiece in,
yes,
and they're talking like they're insane?
Yes,
right. That's weird looking, right?
That is
40 years ago, that person was insane, and today it's he's just on a call.
That's right.
They're absolutely talking like this.
Yeah,
right.
Not enough. Quiet voice.
Yeah. I know.
But just talking right out loud to nobody.
Mm-hmm. Walking down
the
street.
Right.
They look insane.
Sometimes I do see people with an apparatus on their head. And instead of the Bluetooth earphones or whatever, some people have like an honest-to-God pair of headphones, almost like what we are wearing, and they're walking around like they're going to call in a football play, and they're talking to somebody at the meat section of the grocery store. That seems odd to me. But
yep. All right, next story, Chris.
Well, this was a big event in American history. And
what was?
On this day in history, in 1965, the animated special A Charlie Brown Christmas premiered on American television and instantly became a Christmas classic. Is there something else that you... We always watch this around Christmas. It's a tradition in our house. Is there something else that you guys watch? Or do you remember watching this as a kid growing up?
Well, we all do. In this room, yeah. I mean, you started in what year?
1965.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I would have
And they have in that Charlie Brown's Christmas at one point reading from Luke chapter 2, right?
It is the That's holiest right. moment on television when it airs on network television
right.
because Linus gives the Christmas story. The thing that always stood out to me with this is we hear a lot of people say, you know, Christmas is too commercialized, and that was the heart of the story back then, and that was in the 60s. Like,
right.
You would think that, like, we ruined Christmas in the 2000-somethings, but it apparently was a problem 60 years ago.
Well, 1965, it debuted. I think it's still showing today, right?
Right.
They do. It's mostly on Apple. But
I mean, you can watch it probably on YouTube or something like that, but I'm talking about on network TV. It used to come on Thanksgiving night.
Oh, that's right. Huh? That's right. I saw it then. Yeah.
She used to come on Thanksgiving night. TV broadcast. I'm scrolling to find out information here.
I can hear the music. I can hear the background music to that. It's
The Peanuts theme?
Yeah.
Anyway, the main point of the discussion is that it did include the gospel reading from Luke. I don't know that you get away with that today on network TV.
Which the network, even back then, wanted wanted to delete it. And Charles Schultz
said no.
He said no. He said it's got to be in there.
Well, actually, now that I think about it, this is two big moments in the 60s on national television where scripture was read, because there was that moment in 68, I think it was, where it was one of the moon missions where they read from the book of Genesis from space.
Oh, you believe in that moon mission stuff, do you, Chris?
I sure do. People that don't believe, Chris, you ever heard of Arizona? They don't know Diddley Squat.
Area 51. We know the truth.
Or Nevada or Arizona.
Wherever it is.
That's where it happened.
But that's true. They read Genesis 1. Yeah.
If you did that today, somebody there would be an X campaign and somebody being canceled and boycotted by the
end.
You
did what?
If you quoted scripture on national television.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Actually, Freedom From Religion Foundation is throwing a hissy fit right now because the Secretary of Labor is going to have a non-denominational prayer service tomorrow.
You're killing it with your, is it colloquialisms that you're using today? You said a hissy fit.
Hissy fit.
Diddly squat.
Jack squat. And you say scuttlebutt.
He did say scuttlebutt, too, right, Chris. Okay. You're on it, man.
Tomorrow, cattywampus. Tune in. I'll use it randomly.
Cattywampus. So, anyway, listen, Christmas season in America, we don't ever need to, I know that it's that Christmas is celebrated by a lot of non-Christians. Mm-hmm. But for us Christians to keep the emphasis on Christ reveals to the world the real meaning of Christmas, which leads people to think about eternal things and to think about who Jesus Christ was. So we need to, you don't ever need to accept the idea of secularizing Christmas.
Right, that's right.
And making it just a holiday. Christmas is special because it's the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to, you know, there's all kind of trappings surrounding that. Gift giving's fine and, you know, that kind of thing, visiting with family and friends and having parties. But the main thing is the main thing, and that is that Jesus came to the earth and we celebrate his birth. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right, we got 1 minute left, yes. Chris. You got maybe a...
I do.
What you got?
I Googled top ordered last minute Christmas items. If you're like me and you've not finished everything yet and you're scrambling as to what you're going to buy, the top ordered last minute Christmas items right now are headphones, robes, candles, scarves, cookies, wine, coffee, and gift cards for the person that you don't know what to buy for.
Gift cards, always appropriate.
Yeah, gift cards work for everybody, right? And everybody likes them, pretty much. Yeah.
You can spend it on what you want.
That's right.
They even make holders now for, like, cards for a gift card.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gift card.
Absolutely.
Just don't buy a gift card for a company that is 100 miles from your recipient. You know what I'm saying?
We have some restaurant gift cards here in the Tupelo area for restaurants that we don't have in the Tupelo area.
That's what I'm saying. You do that. That's that makes the person wonder, what kind of message are they sending me here?
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm not going to Cheesecake
Factory
in Tupelo.
They got me a gift that I really can't use.
Right.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Fred and Ray, Brent Creeley, our producer, who was also a guest on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Frank Turek was with us. Is that it? I think that's it. We thank you for listening. We hope you keep listening to American Family Radio throughout the day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Mm-hmm.